Yeah, the key to reading stuff is a lot of people try to rush through books, and that's not the goal of drinking a glass of wine. Right? As I'll probably have a couple tonight. Anyway, now my wife's a little bit different. She just slams them, but anyway. She doesn't. Yeah, the wine in the bush. Yeah, she's. You sip wine, right? You should sip those books. Right? I mean, there's times, I'm like, I need to make a change here. Like, the book on prosperity, there's like three pages that I've been reading consistently for the last 2 months. It's just so well written. And when I get out of sync with what he's writing about there, I know it, right? So I got to go back and do that. And there's times, Bob Proctor's book, You're Born Rich. If you're not a big reader and you're trying to grab on all these concepts, I mean, that's one of the best written books on, how to change your life. And he talked, I get a lot of my stuff from him. Okay? So the key of the book is not to try to rip through it, but to implement, change. So there's times where I've read the same page for weeks, right? Because the goal is not to try to rip through the book, so I give you a gold star, right? So it's about making those small changes, right? Which we'll talk about here in a second. So yes, lots of books. And everyone thinks Chris just sits around and visualizes and reads all day. No, I don't, right? It's 5 to 10 minutes, and, for many, many, many years, it's at least 1 or 2 pages a day, right? You could do 10, you could do more, but, I'm at least getting 1 or 2 in every single day, okay? And that's it. And that's a massive compound effect, right? Leaders are readers, and that's it. And also, I want to get better, but, my team pays me pretty heavy overrides, right? So I gotta earn those, right? I gotta read for them, too. Does that make sense, right? So I gotta bring to the table. Success Magazine, I don't know if anybody subscribes to Success Magazine. Actually, because I'm reading so many other things, I actually never read anything in that magazine. I just rip that CD out and listen to that. It's unbelievable. Darren Hardy's the publisher, and he's the author of The Compound Effect, which I love. Right? All this is just the compound effect. We'll talk about Kaizen, small steps, all that stuff. Right? Thing is, if we don't get this stuff clear, you miss all of it. It could be the greatest window of opportunity, which will happen, right? And some of you are taking a little bit too casually, and it's cleaning up what's going on here, right? So my goal is I want to create 250 financially independent business owners and then go from there, okay? That's one of my goals, because that legacy and that ripple effect it's amazing, right? It's amazing what can happen just from that. I mean, we're all here because a football coach in Alabama said, hey, I need to make some money part-time. I mean, that's why we're here, right? We're here because Art Williams said, I'm sick of refereeing basketball games to make extra money. I think I'm going to do this financial services thing. That's why we're here. That decision was made 40-some years ago. Pretty cool, right? The ripple effect of what we do and the ripple effect of your conversations. That's why not being so casual about this thing, okay, if you just grasped how important it was, you would tighten it up a little bit, right? And I get casual too, I get that, right? And so I just have reminders of I gotta, right? There's times I fall down and I make mistakes and I don't show up like I should and I just, don't beat myself up, right? Objective reality is what it's called, okay? It's not beating yourself up, it's objective reality. So sometimes you got to have objective reality with your business. That's not a beating up session. That is as if I'm looking at your business. Right? You step out of your business and look at your business and give it objective reality. Looking at your results. Right? Like 6 months ago, I hadn't had a personal recruit for 4 months. Well, I had to step back and look at that. Is it because I don't know what to say? Do I need more training? No, I had to look at objective reality. Right? And I had to go, what must I be thinking? So the thought processes were, I'm busy. I'm too busy. Right? I won't have time for them. Right? I need to train them properly. I don't have the time. And it was 4 or 5 different thoughts. Right? And some of you are like, I don't know what to do. Okay? It's ridiculous. Right? Once again, that's not a beat up. It's just like, it's ridiculous to have these thoughts. Okay? And so, literally, my very next recruit, which was as I cleaned that stuff up, and I just said, dude, that's ridiculous. There's no stronger example I can send to my team is if I'm personally recruiting. And then Rich Solly said, the sun rises and sets on your personal recruiting example, as he smacked me over the phone, right? And so I'm like, all right, I got to get on my own way on this, right? So here's the thing, is I just need to recruit them and not get ahead of myself. I need to recruit them and not worry about how this thing's going to play out. I'm not that smart. I can't take the million different variables out there and know this is right. And so literally, as I'm sitting there having a conversation with this gal who's a $150,000 a year CPA, totally miserable, and she's literally telling me, she's like, you know what, I got to play some financial catch-up. I think I might bartend. Right? And I'm just sitting there going, and I'm watching myself get in my own way. I'm like, I'm busy, my schedule, I can't have capacity for her, I don't have this, that, all this head trash coming in, right? Once again, it's not about going, I shouldn't be thinking that, it's just like, that's a bunch of crap. So I said, well, this is awesome right here. You need to write this down. This is big. Look at your guess. Anyway, it's funny. I said, well, could you see yourself doing what I do? She said, I thought you'd never ask. I had 3 recruiting conversations that way last year. Could you see yourself doing what I did? And they're like, yeah, I didn't know it was an option. Clients. Guess what? I recruit clients. They don't cancel their stuff. Yeah. Right? That's a story. Right? They don't cancel their stuff. I recruited 3 that didn't do anything, and guess what? They still love us. They still love me. We still have a great relationship. Because I said, if it doesn't work out, I don't want to lose you as a client. Is that cool? Can we make that upfront contract? Can we make that agreement? Yeah. Right? Not about me, it's about you. Okay? Guy goes in witness protection program. I'm like, Ryan, but listen, it's not for you, is it? He's like, oh my God, I thought about head trash, right? And I can always go back at him again, right? There's 10 people I've re-recruited more than 3 times in my career, okay? All those instances I probably should have stopped after the first, but all right, but you can always go back after him, right? All right, I hope one of them works out one day, but I was just like, dude, no big deal. It's not for you. I don't want you. He's like, oh, I've never canceled my stuff. I told you I wouldn't. Even if this didn't go right, you should recruit your clients. I mean, our products are good, but they're not that good, right? In comparison to what we do here. Our products in comparison to the industry, unbelievable, right? In comparison to the business opportunity, so that's just that whole recruiting, but just watch how you stop yourself from the recruiting talk and the stories you tell yourself. Anyway, so I recruited her. I was busier than busy. Guess what? She quit her job, started her own business. She's been woo busy too, right? But we still have a relationship and a conversation, and she's a woman of her word, okay? She's coming right back around. I recruited her 9 months ago. She's been out of state most of the time. That's a lot of people you recruit. It's not going to match up anyway with time. But what am I doing? She's like, I got to go do this stuff and I'm going to come back. I'm like, I got it. She became a client. She's a great client of mine, right? Make your recruits clients. Okay, get them to buy the products. And then we just have a good relationship and we are just really upfront about what's going on. That's it. No wishy-washiness. So she'll come back around. Okay, so it might take me an extra 2 years to build her, but she's going to be an absolute rock star. Right? Her timing's off. But if I would say, well, my timing's off. You guys follow me on this, right? So just, and the other thing on the symptom root thing that I find with people and how we self-sabotage is we have this fear of being too busy. And it's ridiculous. I literally watch people away, push business away subconsciously because they have a fear of being too busy. Does that make sense? Don't worry about it. Just let it rip. Right? Just trust that stuff's all going to play out. Okay? Follow me? Yeah. Right? Especially when it comes to personally recruiting people. Yep. Yeah. You know, sometimes people, I talk about people like, oh, this all just felt and talks this woo-woo stuff and all that. This is so true. All that's true. Acceptance is extremely powerful, right? You can't move forward beating yourselves up in a state of resistance. We try to make changes in our life from a state of resistance, and it never works. It just will never work. Can't do it, right? So that's an exercise I do. Actually, I do a whole one-hour keynote talk for outside people, companies and individuals, and just me outside of a couple of money stuff. But I always have people make a list of things in their life that they wish weren't present, that they wish were not there. What are the things in your life that you wish weren't there? Things you're angry and frustrated and upset about? You make the list, and then you identify what the feeling is with it. And because you wrote it down, you're in resistance to it. Follow me? Because you wrote it down, you're in resistance to it, and that's where you're putting your attention, and that stuff's probably been on your list for a very long time. Until you accept the things on your list, they'll never change. I did that with PSI seminars on a ranch in October 2007. It was all my financial garbage. And the facilitator said, what are you doing about it? I'm like, well, I'm a guy. What am I going to do? I'm going to fix it, right? And he said, well, that's what you've been trying to do. No, you won't. He got me angry. He's like, because you're angry about it, means you're in resistance to it. How long has that stuff been on your list, Chris? How long has debt been on your list? I'm like, 30 years. Since I was 8, I swear. Until you accept it, until you're okay with it, it's never going to change. It won't change. Because all you're doing is putting it out, coming back. I mean, there's just universal laws, man. Like, you either know the laws or you're in ignorance to the laws, right? I always talk about gravity. I'm not ignorant towards gravity, right? I'm not going to positively think my way into working against gravity, right? I can get on top of the building and go, I'm going to fly. And I'm going to be positive about it. I'm going to do my visualizations, right? I'm going to tell myself I'm going to fly. I'm going to do all that stuff. And guess what? That's a very powerful senior universal law to my thinking. So I'm not going to challenge gravity, right? This whole what you resist persists thing is very powerful. So until I got into acceptance and quit making it a problem, I started making it a project and started taking action on it and eating the elephant one bite at a time, so to speak, and actually started enjoying the process and started loving my life again, because I had someone ask me, when are you going to love your life? Now or in the future? Right? Then guess what? Clients started showing up. Recruits started showing up. Okay? Things started happening because my whole attitude changed, because of the boomerang I was putting out. And so if you have things on your list that you wish weren't there, I would believe that they've probably been there a long time, and you're trying to change the things on your list by fixing them. And you're angry and frustrated about it. You don't need to love it, right? Eckhart Tolle's book, New Work, one of my favorite books, is that you don't need to love fixing a flat tire in the middle of the night in the driving rain in the middle of nowhere, but you could fix the tire out of anger and resistance, or you could fix the tire out of acceptance. Right? And when you do that, there's tremendous power in what you do. Does that make sense? Right? And so, also, trying to change those things on my list, I just said, it's okay. I need to take action. I just can't think my way into it, right? I can't just think my way into it. I need to think and then take action, right, at the same time, right? While you're praying, move your feet, right? Those things, okay? I had to take massive action, which I'll talk about here now. I had to take massive action in all directions, but I had to be okay with it, right? And that's what, right, and what we see with couples who have challenges financially in their house is they're in massive resistance to each other, which is why we wrote our book, because we had it, right? My wife had it one night and threw a purse at me, and she's not here to defend herself, so she threw a knife, right? And she threw a fork. And she always denies it, but I'm like, you know, I mean, I was like Matrix up there, you know, doing that, right? Doing that whole thing, man, like bending up, right? And you know, my resistance was delusion. Her resistance was anger. And it was at each other, right? And so until we just said, no more, we can't change it, we just got to accept it. We don't need to love it. Don't need to love what's on your list, okay? Or even like it, but you need to accept it. And when you do that, you're on a platform to change. That's all. You could leave right there on that and change your life without all this other stuff. Till you accept those things and quit labeling them as bad, right? You have things that keep coming over and over and over, get handed to you over and over again. That was just me, I guess, right? It's being shown to you because it's time to evolve, right? I heard Mark Victor Hansen speak. He's like, those things on your list, what are they? Scale of 1 to 10, what are they? Problems. They're 8s. Well, you're trying to attack your problems as a 4. You need to grow. All right? Become 9 or a 10 and grow that stuff. But that was huge. Right? That whole acceptance, that is a great thing to take away from this, is it's okay where you are. Because that's where you are. Right? Okay? Cool? Anything else? Has this been helpful? Okay. So, purpose, clarity. One thing I want to say about that is the reason you want to hand over this desire over and over and over and over and over again, right? Visualization. I'll talk about some of the statements I use and some of my affirmations and those things, right? And one of my keys to success has been I just do whatever it takes, right? And the caveat is for the highest good of all involved, okay? So does that make sense? For the highest good of all involved, I just do whatever it takes, right? And so when I have an issue, I just work every angle, right? So when my wife and I sat down and we finally got into acceptance, right, and it became a project, we sat down, we masterminded, we brainstormed about what we were going to do to change it. And we just started making lists. No ideas were stupid. The book came out of that list, right? We just started thinking of action items that we could take. And we started working things at different angles and coming up with different ideas and all that stuff, right? And so one of the most powerful things you can do is I got this concept from Earl Nightingale called the Bane of Gold, right? And so so I have a notebook that If I got issues or if I got things I want to work on, I just write the goal I'm going after, right? What he would do, he did it every day, or he did 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, where he would sit down and he would write his goal down, or whatever you're working on, right? If you got some stuff like, hey, I'm not getting the recruiting results I want, what must I be thinking? That's a great, right? On your way home, go buy a notebook in your favorite color, right? That's another one of my keys, is I might have something big that I'm going after, but I always just do the next simplest thing. Does that make sense? I always do the next simplest thing to kind of lock in the commitment. Okay? So when I learned this concept, as I was driving around, Earl Nightingale's got these CDs called Lead the Field. Unbelievable. You guys know who he is? Yeah. Right? You become what you think about. This whole concept that I'm talking about, right? But Lead the Field is like 8 CDs, unbelievable stuff, right? But he's talking about, you know, wherever you want to go, you're here, and that's where you want to go, right? And so what's going to get you from here to there is what you're thinking about. So he'd sit down for an hour a day. I think he could do 20 minutes a day and just write down your chief aim, chief goal, and just start letting it flow about things you can do and steps and people you can call. And, man, it is phenomenal because we don't spend time thinking. right? The average person spends 5 to 10% of their capacity thinking like this. Creative thinking, creative ability, right? Waking up and, you know, shaving and going to the bathroom and showering and eating and all, that's not thinking, right? Sitting down and actually writing out stuff or anything in your life that you want to have different, right? What are the things I can do to make it happen, right? And it starts flowing. And then as you're writing, I forgot the number, don't type, right? As you type, you're engaging like, I don't know what the term is. It's 8 different bits of whatever in your body as you type, muscle, memory, whatever, connection, synapses. As you write, it's like thousands and thousands of synapses and all, right? What flows through you sticks to you, right? So that's why I'm not a big iPad note taker guy. I write my stuff out, right? Because it engages everything. But as you write that stuff out, Kazzy, Kazzy's like, I'm not showing up again. I just started to look at Kazzy. I'm like, anyway. When I do stuff on computer, it tends to get trapped in my computer, so that's another thing. My follow-up's all paper, and people totally make fun of me, but but it works. But just writing that stuff out engages your subconscious mind, right? So that's what you want to do. And then you act on it, right? And so if you do it 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, or 7 days a week, I need to rerun the numbers, but it's as if you're spending 4 working weeks thinking about your goal. 4 working weeks. Pretty powerful, right? So you think you make it happen? All right, you can absolutely make it happen. So that's cool, right? And then what happens is you engage what's called your reticular activating system, which you're instructing your subconscious mind what you're going after. And the way you get it to embed, once again, is emotion and feeling. So my wife coming down the stairs, right? That visual, okay? So what happened after that is my subconscious started looking for it. So I'll give the example of the first car you ever owned, okay? Especially guys, you probably remember that first car that you owned. And you did this out of really unconscious competence, right? Where you're like, I want that car, I'm clear on the car that I want, and then you got creative about how you're going to go make that happen. Does that make sense? Right? And so when you buy the car, you see it everywhere. Is it because they just started making more of those cars at that time? No, your reticular is picking the stuff up because you told it what you wanted, and now it's aware. Because your conscious mind can handle 14 bits of information a second, your subconscious can handle 40 million. Okay? So you have to instruct your subconscious about what it is that you want. And what happens is when we focus on what we don't want, we're instructing our subconscious out of fear. And that gets planted too. Right? And that gets planted. And then you start looking for what you don't want to find. Okay? So you got to be active in this. Because the weeds of negativity automatically show up. You don't have to do anything with that. All right? My mentor said, Chris, your mind is a fertile acreage. It's 100 million, you know, acres of the most fertile field on the planet. If you're in there just 15 minutes a day weeding that fertile field, how's that going to work? It's not. So you got to get in there. And people are like, that sounds like work. Yes. It is work to think. It is work to work on you. But he also told me it's worth it. And I bought that. I bought it. He said, you work on you, everything else will take care of itself. You grow you, everything else will take care of itself. And I bought it. I'm like, I can control that. I can't control what's going on out here, but man, I sure as heck can control that. Okay? Right? So what happened is, guess what? I started getting a better relationship with my money. I stopped spending needless money. Right? Should have been a shareholder in Quiznos. I was losing the money game, 5 and 10 bucks a day. Eating out all the time. Right? In our book, I actually lay that out. 10 bucks a day, 5 years, compounded 8% over 20 years. It was a ridiculous amount of money. Right? And some of you are losing the financial game of life, 5 and 10 bucks at a time. But it took that desire to get planted for me to become aware of, you know what, I can bag my lunches, and we stopped expensive dinners, and right, we went on a cash diet for 30 days. You know, it was just a cash diet. We just spent what we had to, and that was it, right? Just to shift that. So we started coming up with creative ways to shift our financial situation, and because it was a desire in me, I was open to it. I wasn't resistant to it, right? So you got to control that. Cool? All right? So let's talk about plan and action, right? Plan and action. And so this is how I goal set and plan, right? So a lot of people don't get clear on what they want, and they don't come up with reasons, and they don't keep that in their face, right? And then they start game planning about stuff they don't even want, or they don't know, right? Or, you know, goal setting. I don't want to set goals because I don't want to be disappointed. Smack, right? You don't set the goal, right? Or it has to be attainable and smart goals, and all, man, whatever works for you. And if what I'm saying doesn't work for you, then don't buy it. I'm just telling you what's worked for me. Right? When I started working with my coach, he said, you don't know how to set goals. And I'm like, I do too. And he said, based on results, Chris, you don't know how to set goals. So my game plan was just set goals and work 80 hours a week. And then eventually I got there. It was ridiculous. Right? And so what happens around goal setting is we set goals and we set an annual goal, which you should, okay? But often people set way too many goals. Okay? So my wife and I set various goals, right? Probably have 8 to 10, just different things. 5 of them are just more measuring sticks versus something that's huge for us. But there's 3 that are massive. Right? I'm talking about business, okay? Just the business side. One is income. Right? We set an income goal. Right? We set an income goal. And we throw it out there, okay? And the reason you throw it out there is you got to start seeing yourself bringing more income in. Right? Because you have a money thermostat. Everyone's got one. If I say you make this amount of money, there's a number that pops into your head. And until you raise that thermostat, you're going to stay within 5 to 10% of that probably forever. Okay? Does that make sense? So I could train on this stuff all day long, but if you have a set point of how you're going to make money, you're going to turn on the air conditioners. And so, if you're just making 100 grand a year, and you dip below 70, or whatever, you're going to turn up the heat, and you're going to make more calls, take more action, right? And you're going to get it to 100, okay? You get to 150, you're going to turn on the air conditioners, and you're going to cool it down. Does that make sense? Right? And that's why, so the biggest thing that causes business owners the most stress and issues is this very topic. Is the relationship to money and their money set point. Their money thermostat, right? This is about the secrets of a millionaire mind, all this stuff, right? So I'm a synthesizer of information. I don't have too many original thoughts, right? This is a huge thing. Okay. And so what happens is you set a goal, right? So let's say you want to go from 100 to 250. Well, it's too big of a jump, right? And probably one of the books, One Small Step Can Change Your Life, Simple Steps to Impossible Dreams, it's called The Kaizen Way, written by an author named Dr. Maurer, okay? Dr. Maurer, called Kaizen. And so this is how you attack change in your life. Is you got to take small steps. Small steps every single day, compound effects, right? And so when I wanted to double our income, because Marla's like, this is where our income should be, right? So once again, went to her, got the answer, came up with compelling emotional reason, right? Got clear on that stuff, right? Right? And visualized on it and got inspiration to move my business life forward, okay? One day I was just kind of visualizing and just being quiet, okay? Because sometimes we think so much, nothing can reach us, so you got to have some quiet time. Vein of gold, writing out visualization, just sitting quiet, just being quiet, right? One of my favorite quotes is, all man's problems stem from the fact that he can't sit alone in a room by himself for 10 minutes, okay? He's got to be busy, right? Not having time for inspiration to reach you. You've got to spend that time doing it. And as I was visualizing one day and pounding this, the hunch I got was, Marlo needs to run the money. I'm a CPA and financial advisor. My wife used to sell advertising. I need to run the money. Well, guess what? It was a direct telegram. So what I had to do? Act on it. Right? It didn't make sense. My ego didn't like it. Right? But based on results, I didn't know how to run our money. So what did I do? Came in. Here you go. She wanted to do it. And I fought her on it for a year. Best financial decision I ever made in my life. Right? That was a small step. It was massive. Right? See, that's the other thing. You tell yourself that you're so far away. It's one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves. Is that we're so far away from doing it. So, she's like, we got to double our income, get rid of this debt, do all this stuff, right, make our business work. And so, it was too far of a move, right? And so, that Kaizen Way, that doctor, he trained residents at UCLA, okay? So he's a doctor training residents to become doctors. And so, one of the examples he uses in that book is, there's a lady who's she's about 80 pounds overweight, and she's borderline diabetic, and they go see her. And, you know, the resident says, okay, here's the deal. You got to take better care of yourself. And so what you need to do is you need to work out 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day, 45 minutes a day. From a lady that doesn't do anything, really, for her health, right? What is she thinking? Right? It's not going to work, right? And so what we have is we have this 100 million-year-old reptilian brain called our amygdala, okay? And it's our fight or flight response. And most people, especially the busy ones, operate their entire lives from fight or flight, fixing stuff, overcoming one problem after another, right? And your genius... One of the reasons why you visualize is you get your prefrontal cortex engaged, and it takes the emphasis off your fight or flight. It's one of the reasons why you visualize. Another reason why you set goals and you think about your future is it gets you out of that, okay? So that's some of the science behind it. So guess what her amygdala is doing? Change stinks, right? She goes home and eats ice cream, right? She did. And so she comes back a couple months later, she's packed on another 20. And so now the resident's about ready to shit on her. Right? Should, that's motivating, okay? And so Dr. Maurer steps in. He's like, all right, what do you do at night? She's like, I eat in front of the TV. Okay? So can you do this? This is what I want you guys to dial all this stuff into. Can you do this? That's the question. During the commercial breaks, can you walk in place? He told her, yes, sir. During the commercial breaks. She's like, what? I can do that, right? Can she go work out for 45 minutes? No. Can't she do the next thing? She did, right? So 5 minutes, right, turned into marathons later, right? She lost 120-some pounds, saved her life. Can you do this? Kaizen way. Small steps. And where that came from was World War II. We were not winning the war, and part of the problem was we couldn't manufacture the war machines quick enough to keep up. Okay, World War II. And so what they did, they created suggestion boxes. That's where suggestion boxes came from. And they told everyone that worked in the factory, if it can save time or money, write it down. We don't care how small it is. Right, so a guy would be running a machine, and he'd say, all right, well, I have to take 2 steps to drop the scrap metal in this bucket. I'm just going to move the scrap metal bucket over to where I'm working. That'll save me 2 steps. That'll save time. And so the gist is all these little suggestions started coming in, and it transformed how we produced material because it was small steps at a time. So one of the lies we tell ourselves is it's just a big thing that we have to do. We have to go after something big. We got right? If I'm standing at the base of Mount Everest looking up, it's overwhelming. Right, so journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And so when you get clear on your purpose and what you're going after, you've got to start small, stepping the stuff down. And so what happens is people set goals or they don't set goals. They don't set goals because they don't want to be disappointed. No, you need to be going after something. You set goals because of the person you become in the process. That's why you set goals, because of the person you become in the process, okay? And so what happens is we set an annual goal. So let's say you want to go from, I don't care what your income amount is. I'm going to say 100 to 250, right? Or 50 to 100, or whatever it is. Okay? Smile, Ed. All right. Smile. High five. All right. So you go from, it's too big, right? And so January 1st, New Year's Eve, champagne, all that stuff, New Year's resolution, rock and roll, best year of my life, double my income, double my business, woo, right? And then by February, right, you've written out this beautiful annual game plan. It's written well. There's a ton of emotion. It's 20 pages long. And by February, you can't even find a thing. Who knows that one? I did that for years. And I sit down in December, I go through this process, ask myself great questions. I still do a process now, but it's different, right? And what that process looks like, one of the first questions I ask myself, and this is one where you got to set time aside and do it yourself, is what's holding you back? Phenomenal question. What's holding you back? What's getting in your way? Because nobody else is getting in our way except for us. Got it? What's holding you back? And I'm brutally honest about that. And once again, it's objective reality. It's not beating myself up. It's objective reality. It's not what's holding you back. You're a loser. No, that's not the conversation. Right? It's like, all right, you got to pick up your game around personal recruiting. Right? Well, what's going on here? I've gotten a lot better health results in the last year or so because that was an area of my life that I was getting a little slack on. Right? So what's the head trash I have around getting my health better? I don't have any time to be healthy. That's BS. Right? I had to look at that one. Right? What's holding me back? Right? And so when I started working out, I was like, I don't work out to lose weight. I work out to feel better. Right? And when you feel better, your business rocks. Right? I was busy this morning, but I'm like, I'm not going to do as good of a fast start if I don't get my workout in. Does that make sense? You guys follow me? So what's holding you back? And you guys aren't working out. Right? 20 minutes a day, I rock it. Unbelievable. Okay? Yes. K-A-I-D-E-N. Kaizen way. So what else is holding you back? Just go through that process. First time I did it, it was a long list. But it felt so good, because I started this process in 01. I did that for 3 hours. What's holding me back? Some of it was stuff I'll never repeat, right? Stuff that's personal. Some of it was small. Okay? But once I got to that list, I picked 3 or 4 things, and I zeroed in on those. Right? Or you could just pick one, right? Kaizen. Small step. Pick one thing you want to work on. Pick one behavior. 21 days, work on one behavior. A year from now, you'll be a totally different person. You'll have 17, 18 different behaviors. But if you try to do all 17, 18 at once, you got it? Right? So what's holding you back? Right? And then Marlo and I get together, December 31st, New Year's Day, right? 3 o'clock, a couple glasses of wine, and we set our couple's goals together. Right? And they're around those things. But then we break it down, right? So what happens is you set an annual goal. By February, you kind of disengage with it. You're not really doing visualization on it. You're not putting things in place. You're not putting stuff up that you can see, keep in your face, right? My next income goal, if you look at my car, I cut the ring out of the poster. All right, 750 ring, boom. It's right there on my dashboard. My wife thinks it looks cheesy, whatever. All right, but I'm staring at it, right? Can't help but not stare at it, right? Doing little things to remind me of my goals and all those things. But what happens is by March, you're like, I still have plenty of time to hit my goal. And you start coasting. Right, I got all the time in the world. Then June comes. Then September comes, and you're so far away that you bag it, if you haven't already bagged it at that point. And then comes December, and you're like, woo, it's going to be great here. Doubled my business, doubled my life, everything's great. I got all the time in the world, la-da-da. Definition of the same thing, over and over again, expecting a different result. And I did that for years, and then my coach said, you don't know how to set goals. I said, I do too. And he said, based on results, you don't know how to set goals. Okay? So, we're going to talk about that. Right? Let's just even start here. Let's say you're at zero or whatever, and you want to get to 100K. Okay? It's a big move from zero. Right? And the first 100,000 is kind of your toughest, really. First 100K is your toughest. I remember when I got my 100K ring, the next week I had lunch with Hubert Humphrey. Totally random occurrence. We had lunch with him. He said, first 100K is probably your toughest. And so what I do is, so it's March 31st,